Tamasu. Good evening, good afternoon, and I'm here in California where the last light of the afternoon is fading at the end of a very beautiful rainy day, which for those of us in the central coast of California is a good day. And I want to welcome you all and to just express how happy I am to be with you, to be on our second installment of Freedom, Ecstasy, and Awakening, our meditative journey into the Vijnana Bhairava, the experiential wisdom, the realization of Bhairava, of Shiva, of the Absolute in the form of the Great Teacher. It's been really fun and delightful and instructive, as it always is, to be reading your experiences on the listserv, and I'm always very moved and excited and interested to recognize that the way we experience these practices, these meditations, is so different for everybody, and how, just as we don't have the same physical constitution, we don't have the same energetic constitution. So there's so many different experiences that we can have as we delve into these practices, and I know that many of you who are in this class and on the listserv have been here for all of our Vijnana Bhairava classes in the first two series and in many other classes on Tantra and on meditation. So it's also gorgeous to see how you guys support each other and how the conversation that has been going on for some of you on the listservs and on the Facebook page of my last couple of goddess courses continues in this community, and then to see the way in which people enter the community and feel contained and held and kind of safe to talk about what's going on. So just to recapitulate some of that, what I'm seeing is that there are some of you who are having really profound expansiveness in meditation, and some of you are having upsurges of emotion, which is also normal, and which we'll talk about how to work with later on. Some of you are very much tuned into the sound, to the vibration of the mantra, and some of you much more to the light experience. Coco, one of the people who's written into the listserv, created a beautiful a kind of creative expansion of this week's meditation practice that was very cool, combining the mantra and the inner body, the Sushumna Nadi, and the light. And Marika wrote yesterday about the light of Shiva flowing from the region above the crown, which is really the practice that we were working with this week for most of us. And she compared the experience of light flowing from the uppermost chakra with something that was very famously said by the great Christian mystic Hildegard of Bingen, who called it living light. And that phrase, living light, which has also been used in modern times by other teachers, and which is such a good way of describing the experience of this light, which is at the heart of everything, in which we begin to tune into, gradually, for some of us very dramatically. Sometimes it's very present as a real living experience. Sometimes we feel like we're, you know, kind of creating it in our practice. And, you know, in my experience, for those of you whose experience of meditation, of these meditations, is more energetic than visual, I want to say that this is my primary experience also, that in visual meditations, I'm very often experiencing the visual part not so much as an inner vision, as a very distinct sense of presence, of energetic presence. And at the same time, over the years, as I've practiced these meditations on higher energies, on deities, on streams of light and colors and chakras, what I've discovered is that somehow these visual meditations, the word I want to use is, you know, peel away the veils that have kept my consciousness from actually seeing beyond the sort of ordinary thought image field, and really started to reveal not only the inner sense of being, but also the lights that are there, that are present in our subtle body. So even if you're not a visual meditator, just know that in practicing these visual imaginative meditations, that you're actually unleashing that inner light for yourself. The light that we call on in meditation and the lights that we experience within the body, whether visually or simply as a sense of presence or vibration or pulsation, and all of these are authentic and important ways that the light of consciousness expresses itself. It's a living, conscious, literally revelation, sometimes very strong, sometimes very subtle, of what it is that's living us. And we can know that through subtle felt sensation, as qualities of presence, as feelings like excitement or love or power, a kind of subtle sweetness. And sometimes as consciousness opens, you know, we experience a little bit of nervousness or fear or anxiety. But generally speaking, as we tune in more and more deeply to that presence, that Shiva Shakti presence, the energetic experience of love, power, sweetness begins to feel more and more expansive or purifying or rejuvenating or healing, or simply having the capacity to shift us out of ordinary awareness, what we call mundane awareness, into an experience of something that's really much more subtle and expansive. And I also want to answer some questions that have come in, some of which are answered on the listserv, but I also want to say that different teachers describe aspects of the living light as having different colors. And I have to say that these colors seem to be different in different traditions and different lineages. So as colors arise, if colors are arising for you, the best way to work with them is not to try to look them up in the spiritual colors handbook, which there are some of, which can be somewhat misleading. But to ask yourself, okay, so what does this color mean to me? What does this color mean to me? And there's a question that just came in on the website. Someone asked if we could talk about the different light beings, the devas, the devis, the earthly beings, the people who appear as light beings, and how to know which light form is our highest calling or perhaps our most beneficial wavelength to aspire to. It's a great question. And it's a question that is actually part of the exploration that each of us does with our own inner consciousness. In this class, in this journey that we're on together, we're meditating with the light of Shiva, the light of Bhairava, and I'm going to give you, in fact, a meditation on that light, which is like what we did last week. And I want to say that the essence of the Vijnana Bhairava and of the tradition, the lineage of the Vijnana Bhairava, is really a path to attuning ourselves to the highest, most beneficent, most expansive form of the Absolute Consciousness. There are many levels and layers in which we experience subtle beings, but in the tradition of Tantra and in the tradition of the Indian non-dual path, what we come to recognize is that we are being gradually tuned into the absolute consciousness, the ultimate beneficence in which we all live, which in which we, from within which we all are formed, and which, though it has different names and different layers and different forms, is the same awareness, the same consciousness, the same purity that's described in the Kabbalistic tradition as Ein Sof, the ultimate formlessness, that in Christianity is God the Absolute. And in the Tantric tradition, it's known as Shiva, that pure awareness that underlies everything, and which has a formless form that is both pure awareness and pure love and creativity. And that love-creativity aspect is known as Shakti, or the divine feminine, as Shiva is associated with the divine masculine. But the truth is, they are all the highest form of your own consciousness and the consciousness that's in everything. So we're going to continue this week, first of all, by opening to Shiva, to that powerful light of Bhairava, the form of the divine that is called Bhairava in the tradition, and who is a teacher of this text, is described in Tantra as being that form of divine consciousness who's particularly potent for protection. That is Bhairava among his many other qualities. And I'm speaking of Bhairava as a being, as a divine person. Even though Bhairava is also completely without form and is also present as the inner teacher, the guru in your own consciousness. So one of the meditations that we looked at last week and that I want to continue this week, and hopefully that you will incorporate into your practice over the next months and years of your life, is the practice of accessing the field of loving, protective energy, the protective aspect of Bhairava that holds the space within which we meditate. I've discovered, and this is a powerful teaching of the Tantric sages, that we always want to do this at the beginning of practice, because it's very important to hold and protect our meditative space, both so that, you know, we actually create a container within which we consciously ask our subtle essence to reveal itself in meditation, and also to make sure that no external influences arise. And that doesn't mean that making this space is going to keep your neighbor's TV from, you know, from being loud, or your kids from speaking in the next room. But what it does do is really hold your mind, hold your awareness such that you can assimilate external noises and light, etc., and include them in your meditation. And also make sure that the subtle space that's opened up is really held protectively. So, as we sit now, please find a posture that feels comfortable and upright. Straight spine is, as most of you know, the main thing that we want to achieve in a meditation posture, whether we do it with our own muscles or whether we do it by propping ourselves on pillows. So find a posture that lets your back be straight, that feels comfortable. If you're on a chair, it's very helpful to put your feet flat on the floor, becoming aware of your body comfortably seated. And feel the connection between your sits bones, your buttocks, and the seat. And also see if you can really feel how the earth quality in the place you're sitting, the solidity of your seat, actually supports you, and let yourself take the support of the seat. And inhaling, let the base of your body become heavy. Exhaling, feel how the exhaling breath literally flows upward through your body, creating a very, very subtle lift in your spinal column up through the crown. Let your chest lift it open. Now, feel as though surrounding you on all sides, and surrounding all of us here. So there's two senses in which we are meditating on Bhairava's protective energy, both as a field that holds all of us together no matter where we are in the world, that is actually Bhairava's field of that is in place for holding our Sangham. And this field of Bhairava's, to me, looks like and feels like a very expansive, very subtle, very beautiful, golden white light that is fully permeated with the intention of this lineage to infuse us with the particular form of radiance that can most open the consciousness of each of us at this moment in time, at this present moment. So just get a sense of that field of Bhairava's light. That is really the light of the highest form of benign divine awareness, and which intends for us to know the truth of ourselves, and which intends to hold us and protect us and create a powerfully safe space within which we can explore our own consciousness together. And now feel this golden white light surrounding your body as a subtle auric field that is the space within which your meditation can expand and within which you can feel the protection of Bhairava and Bhairavi as a golden bubble of white golden light that wraps itself around your body, embraces you from all sides. And again, you don't need to see it. You simply have to be aware that in summoning this presence, in asking that this presence be there for you and for all of us, we are invoking it because that's all it takes. And from within that very beautiful field, we're going to chant the mantras. We're going to chant the mantras Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchita Ananda Murtaye, which asks Shiva to be present for us. And I'd like you to imagine as you chant that they're actually being chanted by Shiva himself. They're actually being chanted through your body, through Shiva himself. Om Namah Shivaya Gurave Satchitanandamurtaye Nishprapanchaya Shantaya Niralambaya Tejase Om Sahana Vavatu Sahano Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Haravavahe Tejasvi Navaditamastu Ma Vidvishavahe Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. We ask that the practice and the wisdom that we share be of benefit to all beings and to the earth. And as you sit now with a sense of the presence of the divine intention, begin to become aware of the central channel, the Sushumna Nadi, this the slender thread of open spaciousness, the core of presence that runs vertically from the base of your spine just in front of the coccyx, up through your lower abdomen, through your belly, through your chest, through the center of the throat, up through the center of the head, up to the subtle sun above the head. And feel that with the inhalation, the breath flows down to the base of the central channel, down towards the base of the spine with the sound, so. And that it flows up from the base to the sun above the head with a subtle pulsation of hum, drawing in the light of the topmost chakra, the light of Shiva and Shakti, united above your crown, united in the form of this same golden white light. Feel it being drawn down through the center of the body with so, and flowing upward with hum. And allow yourself to establish as inner core the subtle vertical presence of this central channel, which is in truth the core of your consciousness, the channel that connects you from your most embodied, individuated form up through your soul form, up to the absolute divine light form, and ultimately allows you to recognize your complete oneness, not only with the divine, but with everything. Because the great paradox of the central channel is that though it is tiny and slender and subtle, it also is large enough to hold the worlds. And now, having established that vertical presence, that core supporting us from within, that beautiful presence supporting us from within, we're going to continue with the practice that we began with in last week's class, which is based on verse 43 from the Vijnana Bhairava, which is one of the group of meditations on emptiness. In Sanskrit, the word that we use for emptiness is shunya. And shunya is usually translated as void, but actually shunya is not void in the usual sense of that word. Shunya is a spaciousness, a presence that is not far from being empty. It's the name for that which is beyond words, which is the heart of the experience of subtle spaciousness, empty of content, empty of language, empty of image, but filled with love and power far beyond any power that we can experience in the embodied world, far beyond any physical power or even subtle power. So as we meditate on spaciousness, on emptiness, on shunya, on bhairava as spaciousness, we come to realize that everything we experience arises and subsides out of that spaciousness, and we learn how to let the practices and eventually all techniques and all thoughts of perceptions become a pathway back into that spaciousness. That's what the Vijnana Bhairava is really intending to show us. So as we open ourselves to the subtle contentless spaciousness we're accessing here, please see it as an invitation into the underlying love and power, to the union of Shiva and Shakti, of being and doing, of pure awareness and loving creative manifestation. We are asking that awareness, whose nature of love is love, to reveal itself as the inner essence of our experience. So here's the verse. Meditate on spaciousness on all sides of your body, When the mind has become free of thoughts, we experience everything as filled with pure spaciousness, whose nature is love and power. So, begin to feel now that the front of your body, the front of your physical body, is subtly opening, so that with each inhalation, your breath draws space, draws pure presence, draws love-filled spaciousness, the entire sphere of spaciousness in front of your body. The breath draws it into the body, melting the skin, melting the sense of separation that we normally feel, so that the body opens to the spaciousness of Bhairava and Bhairavi. The space in front of you is open and skylight, and it's flowing into your body from the front. Allowing you to recognize the purity of presence that connects you to all that is. And as the breath flows in with this subtle sense of spaciousness flowing in through the front of the body, you feel the subtle pulsation within it, which is a pulsation of Shakti. And begin to feel that now the back of the body opens, and the same spaciousness is now being drawn in from behind. You're inhaling the entire sphere of space behind your body, feeling that now both the front and back of your body are edgeless, open, pure. Filled with subtle vibration whose essence is awareness and freedom and love. Now feel that you're drawing in spaciousness from the left side of your body, flowing in through the side body, mingling with the spaciousness that is present, opening, filling your body with this sense of loving energy and space. And from the right side of the body, open and draw in that spacious presence. And feel now that you draw in spaciousness from above the head, from that same center that we've been practicing with, feeling space, the whole sphere above you, filling your head, mingling with the sense of space that's already present in your body. And now feel that spaciousness flowing into your body from below. So that with every breath, you're drawing in pure, spacious presence. The essence of the Shiva Shakti light and open presence that permeates every atom of the universe. And feel that the spaciousness flows into your body and begins to open your body. To relax your body, to release tightness or holding or anxiety, to begin to subtly release ideas and concepts that keep us bound to our different versions of ourself. And recognize now that as you breathe in with the syllable so now and breathe out with the syllable hum, your breath is actually reminding you that your consciousness, your presence, and even the space within every atom of your body is not different than that absolute consciousness out of which it arises. And I'm going to read a poem from the Radiant Sutras, which is a beautiful text that I know some of you have read, which is a free, very free translation of the Vijnanabhairava. This is his version of this beautiful meditation. Behind the spine is infinity. Below the perineum, invisible pulsating roots open downward into space. The heart is as wide as a spiral galaxy. This present body is permeated with limitless space, drenched in freedom. And take a deep breath in, breathe out. I'm going to speak a little bit about the text and then we'll go back into meditation, and that's how we'll play with each other here tonight, and there'll also be a time for questions, I promise. So the Vijnanabhairava uses several words as metaphors that point to the presence that appears through these dharanas. Space is one of them. Silence is another. Light is another. Intensity is another, as in the verses that we'll be practicing with next week, which ask us to meditate on the experience of an intense emotion like fear or joy or sexuality. And one of the hallmarks of these meditations, many of these meditations, and is that they point to an idea of the center, which in Sanskrit, again, as many of you know, is called madhya. Madhya, which literally means middle or midpoint, sounds quite a lot like the English word, the midpoint between one form of activity, whether it's breath or thinking or movement or perception, between one form of activity and another. And so the madhya, the middle point, is both a pointer to the focus of practice. It also refers to what happens when our limited consciousness expands and we find ourselves on the inside of the inside, in the holy of holies, the core of consciousness that is lurking, literally lurking inside our mind and inside our senses, in which these meditations can begin to help us experience. We're going to do some practices on the mudra in a few moments. But I want to also point out at this particular moment, the way in which the Vijna and the Bhairava also uses language, to create meditation moments out of what are essentially philosophical teachings. In other words, the text is full of these very beautiful, verbal teachings that suggest the possibility of using words to kindle our awareness of that which is beyond words. For instance, verse 100, which is one of my favorites, and is a very, very powerfully transformative verse. It says, "The Supreme Lord Shiva is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-pervading. I myself am that." So this verse asks us to actually contemplate this idea of omniscience. What does it mean to be all-knowing, to have the capacity to know everything and anything, to be so creatively effective that just the way your own mind can imagine anything, the mind of the Absolute can imagine this world that we inhabit and many worlds that are unknown to us. And that this consciousness, which is Shiva, is everywhere, inside every atom. So by contemplating these ideas, these understandings, and holding this thought, I am that also, that is, there is this one awareness that has become all that is, one great mind that has manifested everything that exists and everything that doesn't exist within itself. And my own mind, my own consciousness, is not only a part of that great mind, my own mind is not different from that great mind. An extraordinary thought, and an extraordinarily enlightening thought. And there's another phrase that we're going to be practicing within a few moments, which says, just as waves arise from water, flames from fire, and rays from the sun, in the same way the different aspects of the universe have arisen from me, Bhairava. So, in other words, these verses are Bhairava speaking as himself and inviting us to identify little by little with that awareness, that awareness that is actually our birthright in any moment that we become egoless and recognize ourselves as the pure subject, the I-ness that includes and transcends everything. So part of what these practices, which are called bhavanas, these philosophical statements, these great statements that, you know, another word for them is mahavakya, which in Sanskrit literally means great statement, maha, great, vakya, statement or words, great speech. The famous mahavakyas are the Vedic utterances, you are that, or tatvamasi, or shivoham, I am Shiva. These are powerful non-dual statements about reality. And what they do is cook the mind, literally cook the mind in truths that to our mundane mind might seem too philosophical or abstract to grasp. So to actually spend some time holding one of these ideas in your mind can be in itself enormously transformative. When I was first learning Kashmir Shaivism, studying Kashmir Shaivism, I used to contemplate one of these statements, and the one I was contemplating was at the time that I remember of this experience I'm going to share with you was everything arises and subsides in the great consciousness. And at one point during this period when I was contemplating this line, I discovered something that I've been playing with ever since, which is that when I was having trouble with the Xerox machine or with the ignition in my car, which at that time was a very old Toyota that was, you know, kind of temperamental, that if I remembered that the Xerox machine is consciousness, that the car and the ignition are consciousness, then I swear to you, it would start to work in an almost magical way. And the power in these bhavanas, these contemplative thoughts, is a very powerful form of deep magic. You know, the Kabbalistic sages who are all about the power of words, you know, used to have a phrase, I create with my words, I create with my thoughts. And the more we create an expanded view in our mind, the more that internal experience begins to affect your outer world, not in a way that, you know, should invite us to grandiosity or to playing with other people, but actually letting us recognize that the inner world and the outer world are in constant relationship, and that as our understanding about ourselves and the world begins to expand, begins to become more subtle, begins to become more loving, that the outer world, our outer experience, changes in subtle ways and sometimes in very dramatic ways to match our inner thoughts and feelings. And more we're able to recognize what the Buddhists mean when they talk about interdependence, when they talk about how each of us is completely and totally interdependent, not only with the people and the animals in our lives, but also, of course, with the planet, with the air, with the trees, with everyone who contributes to the life that we live. And so these words in the Vijnana Bhairava can actually, these bhavanas, these mahavakyas, these high great thoughts, are a very powerful way of starting to experience insight into teachings that might seem, as I said earlier, counterintuitive when we're focused on our ordinary thoughts. You know, all those thoughts that we are stuffed with about our problems and our family members and the stuff we're trying to remember to order from the Christmas catalogs. So, as we know, the core teaching that we work with that permeates the Vijnana Bhairava, and that permeates all the non-dual traditions, whether Indian Tantra or Buddhist Tantra or Taoism or the Jewish wisdom tradition or the deep Christian mystical traditions, is that your awareness, your capacity to perceive, which we ordinarily think of as inside the body, is a contracted microcosmic version of the vast consciousness, which is the source of all this. So we're going to practice contemplative inquiry with this verse. It's verse 97 for those of you who are working with the text itself, which says, just as waves arise in water, just as flames arise from fire, just as rays arise from the sun, all this universe arises within me. And Bhairava himself is speaking, but what he's pointing to is the expansion of our own consciousness, of the truth that this limited individual consciousness, when we truly enter it and allow it to reveal itself, is actually that source, that pure awareness of Bhairava, of Shiva. So we work with these teachings, this teaching to shift our conceptual understanding. and to begin to create that radical shift of consciousness that can fully grasp what this means. So, in this moment, allow the breath to bring your awareness into the body and we'll practice inside the heart center, the center behind the breastbone, allowing awareness now, allowing your breath to bring your attention into the heart center, into this space just behind the sternum, where we begin to enter into the great heart. Here's the statement, just as waves arise in water and flames arise from fire, this universe arises in me. My own awareness, I'm going to translate it a little bit, my own awareness holds and contains and gives rise to the entire world of my experience. And it's not even necessary to even consider your awareness in its expanded form. But just to ask yourself this very simple question. Is my awareness inside this room? Or is this room inside my awareness? Just let that question surprise you. Is my awareness inside this room, or is this room inside my awareness? And if you really let this question sink in, you realize that, of course, it's both. In other words, in one sense, we're inside the room, your body's inside the room, certainly. But when you tune into awareness, to that capacity for experience, you start to notice that you are actually experiencing your surroundings, and I'm just talking about your immediate surroundings, as being within your awareness. You can't really experience your body or the room without awareness. And if you stop thinking of awareness as being something that's just inside your head or inside your brain, and realize that awareness can actually experience its capacity for being conscious in such a way that you realize that you are actually holding this room inside awareness. You can place your awareness behind the body and recognize that awareness holds the body. You can place your awareness inside the heart and realize that awareness is able to explore the heart. Your whole experience now is able to be held inside that awareing capacity, that knowing capacity that we call consciousness, and which, far from being confined to the brain, is actually able to give you the experience of the entire field of your experience, and also to transport itself to places that we are not physically present in. You know, your awareness can go to the inside of your refrigerator. Your awareness can flow back to an experience that you had 5 years ago. And what Shiva is saying in this dharana is that all experience is being held inside awareness, and that awareness is his awareness. You may not be conscious right now of the individuals who are being held inside the space of consciousness that we share, but we're all there. We're all being held inside your awareness. So everything within this field of awareness, Shiva says, is made of Shiva Shakti, is made of awareness and love, is made of subtle beingness. And because the pure subjectness of awareness is so subtle and so ever-present that it can never be an object, we approach immersion in that awareness through the tangible, palpable, touchy-feely, breath-filled, imagination-filled qualities in our being, which are aspects of Shakti, the creative, energetic, dynamic aspect of pure awareness. So essentially, we're constantly looking into our own experience to discern the subtlest level of energy within it. And of course, this is actually much easier for us to understand than it may have been for our ancestors, because since physicists looked into the quantum level of matter and discovered that what we think of as the building blocks of matter is actually mostly space, and that inside that space, of course, there are infinitesimal realms of awareness that are constantly morphing themselves into waves and particles depending on how they're being observed. So this recognition that science has started to discover through the microscope and through mathematics, sages discovered in deep meditations, so that these texts are built on this premise that even the body, even physical space, can lead us to subtler and subtler levels of spaciousness. And that when we realize that our bodies and all other bodies are really not solid at all, but are constantly forming and reforming themselves in a shifting energetic flow, then our minds are in a process of constant transformation, then we start to realize what it means to say that every moment in life can offer a pathway into the ultimate. So when you open your eyes, if you have closed your eyes, or just now in this moment, just recognize again that your awareness is holding everything that you can see, that you can feel, that you can sense. Have the feeling that everything you see, hear, and sense is being experienced inside this subtle field of knowingness that we call consciousness. And then take the big leap and recognize that your awareness is a part of the awareness that's called Bhairava or Shiva or Absolute Consciousness. That your awareness is divine awareness itself. Shiva Shakti is knowing this world as your awareness. Just feel how it shifts your experience of yourself to have this thought that whatever you're experiencing is actually arising and subsiding inside one awareness, one heart. Notice that when you let yourself just hold this bhavana, this understanding, that there are actually not preferences in the way that you might normally experience preferences. There's not such a feeling of me here and the table there. There's this natural feeling of intimacy with your world. Just notice what the effect is of holding this thought, just as waves arise in water, just as flames arise from fire and rays from the sun. This world that I experience is arising inside awareness. And that awareness is Shiva's awareness. Maybe my experience is limited at this moment. But this awareness that I call me is capable of expanding and revealing itself as that one awareness that holds everything. And with a deep breath in and a long breath out, open your eyes. Actually, you don't have to open your eyes. But I want to invite you now to talk for a moment, if you're moved to, if you're called to, if you're pulled to share your experience or a question. And you can press *7 if you want to say something. And if you have if you're on the webcast, if you want to send in a question to the webcast, Deb, who's also on the call, will let me know that you've asked a webcast question. So if you'd like to speak, press *7. And what I often say as we're all asking ourselves, if there's something I want to say or a question I want to ask, what I often say is, okay, who'd like to ask the second question or the first question or be the second speaker?
Sally?
Yeah?
Hi there, it's Jamie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi there. So I wonder if from the beginning you talked a bit about a kind of anxiety or fear that arises after an expansion of consciousness or awareness, or how, there are lots of ways we can describe that, but and I wrote to you about this, that sort of, that when the I comes back and
right,
comes back into the body or as, and is the experiencer, can you just talk a bit about that, I don't know, unworthiness, that for me there's sometimes this flavor of unworthiness. Sometimes there's anxiety, sometimes there's fear. It has some different flavors, but
flavors, right?
My sense is that it's the same. It's pointing to the same thing.
No, I know exactly what you mean, and I think lots of people do as well. So this is it's a really important thing to be aware of, and because as we continue in our practice, we experience in a way that sometimes feels very frustrating how consciousness expands, to use the contemporary term, and then it contracts. And, you know, our individual consciousness, the word that's normally used for it is our egoic consciousness, you know, our contracted, our limited consciousness, has all sorts of programs that, that are part of our childhood conditioning, part of our social conditioning, and, you know, we have different flavors of limited consciousness. But there's that experience of expanding, of going, of having a deep meditative experience, of an experience of stillness or love, and then kind of coming back to let's call it your ordinary state of consciousness, often the contrast between that expanded state and the more contracted experience is shocking and depressing, and it can, if we're not aware that that's a normal part of the process, it can bring up feelings of anxiety or unworthiness, or, you know, oh shucks, I've been doing this for such a long time and I'm still experiencing these, you know, these contracted feelings. So whenever we expand, we're always going to contract. And what my experience over the years has been is this, that whenever there's a big opening going on, part of what it does, and this is not a mistake, it's not a sign that there's something wrong with you or any of us, but as that expansion occurs, it also throws into high relief the, you know, the kind of issues and conditionings and programs and, you know, the sort of particles of our woundedness and our personal issues. And it's as if the expanded consciousness is actually able to see these qualities in ourselves. But the problem is that we're so used to identifying with our thoughts and emotions that what will happen is that the me will seize on the feeling of unworthiness or the feeling of spaciness or the fear or anxiety or whatever it is, identify with it, and then, you know, kind of spiral into a state of, you know, of identifying with emotions. So the game, the trick that consciousness teaches us through this process is to hold on to the recognition of that wider awareness in its capacity as the witness, as the one who can stand aside from the emotions and the feelings, whatever they are. You know, whether it's a feeling of unworthiness or, you know, the opposite feeling, which happens a lot, which is, oh my God, I'm so cool, I'm so spiritually advanced, look at that great experience I had, or even that I'm having. You know, that consciousness, awareness can be present to that without identifying so tightly with the thoughts. And as awareness gets more practiced in doing that, then awareness begins to melt the contracted, the identification with the contracted self. And gradually you become more and more free, so that even when you're, you know, having painful or negative thoughts or even physical sensations, a part of you is standing aside from them, watching them, noting them, and not caught in them. I just looked up and saw a beautiful, almost full moon shining out of the
I know. I went to see it earlier on the roof. It's really great.
Gorgeous. Yeah, it's really gorgeous. So thank you for that question. I'm sure lots of people identified with it.
Yeah, thank you. So can I ask a follow-up?
Sure.
Okay. So what I, part of what I hear you saying is that it's almost like the opposite of the expansion in a way arises directly following, just as it would, as all things all wholes are paired up, are made up
right.
of the opposite, right? So where there's
right.
the unlimited, then there's, it will eventually be followed. Or maybe not always, but be followed by a more limited experience. And so that what I hear you saying is that, like, you're normalizing that's not
you're assimilating it.
Okay.
But at the same time, the limited experience is also part of consciousness itself. In other words, that consciousness, awareness manifests as everything. And part of the process that we really learn to see is that even when my guru used to say, you know, all thoughts and emotions are made of consciousness, they're made of particles of consciousness and energy, even the worst thought, even the most painful thought, if you really go to its substance, it's made of that same consciousness. And that same consciousness is able to stand aside, hold it, and be aware of it. And that, honestly, that's how we are liberated, is by expanding and contracting and learning to hold contraction inside the overall recognition of ourselves as awareness. That's how it works. You know, if we could just, if our consciousness could just expand, you know, utterly and recognize itself as divine consciousness, it would probably burn out our entire nervous system. So the process is gradual for good reason, and we actually undergo a training in which consciousness learns about expansion and contraction in such a way that it ultimately reveals that we are free in the midst of any experience.
Sally, can I ask a question on top of that?
Is this Jamie?
No, this is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Okay.
How are you? Nice to
good.
See you.
How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. It's been really nice to see everybody interacting on the listserv, too.
Yeah, it is.
So, I have been studying this. I think I talked to you a while ago about that stuff I've been doing with Paul. Remember I emailed you about that a long time ago?
Yeah.
And it's been really a blessing. So when I saw this come up, because I had been, I listened to your CDs of the most recent work a lot. So it was really a treat to be able to take that class with him. And so what I'm noticing is that the experience of this expanding consciousness, really this is going to take you where it's going to take you. It's not like, and some of it's kind of alarming, just, you know, recently I've sort of had this really powerful exploration and sort of almost sexual initiation. You know, I work in that space. I'm curious about that space. So it's not that surprising it would come to me, but, you know, where I almost feel like the expanded consciousness that I have, especially sexually, is like holding all the pain that's out there. It's like weird that it, like, in this, these moments of ecstatic freedom, which happens to me sometimes just in meditation, but also, you know, in sexual space, like, it seems to, like, be offering itself to the pain that coexists in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's
really
weird. It's like completely overwhelming.
It's not weird. Part of why it's important to bring those questions into the space is so that you can be assured that it's not weird. You know, you clearly have a very empathic and open consciousness, which is beautiful. And the overwhelm comes from not really knowing how to process, you know, the more extreme energies that come up in meditation. And I'm going to give you a way to do that, which I work with a lot, and which I've found to be tremendously important in not only in assimilating the, you know, experiences like what you're talking about, but also in kind of interacting subtly with the world in a way that can create shifts in the field.
Mm-hmm.
So in this process you begin to imagine the reality, and it is a reality, that in the space behind your body, in the space of the heart, the energy of Vairava, the energy of Shakti, the energy of the divine protective forces who are teaching you and opening you, are literally holding and embracing you from behind. And then when you have these feelings, when you feel pain arising, and including the thoughts you have about it, you know, the thoughts like this is not right or there's something wrong with this, you breathe it all in through your body, into the consciousness of the great divine, benign, Bhairavi Shakti goddess deity presence who literally holds your back, who's the core of that golden light protective space. And understand that as you do that, you're offering the pain, you're offering the suffering, you're offering the excitement, you're offering all of it into the field of pure awareness of Bhairava, and allowing the energy of the Absolute, which you are open to through your practice, allowing the energy of the Absolute to take those, that suffering and transmute it. And then you allow Bhairava, you allow Shakti to breathe back through your body the blessing that is utterly and completely always flowing from that presence. So you have the sense that you're breathing the blessing of the Absolute, the blessing of the Divine, into those people who are suffering, into that suffering space. And that way you use those experiences as not only as a way of practice, but actually as a way of making an offering to whatever, you know, whatever suffering is present in the world and also, you know, in you. Because as you do this practice, you can also do it with your own pain. And little by little, as you do this, then you actually begin to be able to look into the face of life, of the reality of life, which, you know, which in this physical world, in the body, in our contracted state, in the world at this time, there is suffering, you know, there is radical suffering. And your empathic awareness of it is allowing you to be a vehicle for offering that suffering into the Great Heart. What's really important is that you understand that you're offering it into the vastness of that awareness which stands behind you as a protective presence. You're not taking it into your own heart. You're simply
I appreciate that so much, and I haven't experienced it like this weird, oh, this bad thing's happening to me. I've experienced it more like this is a service. This is the service that I can, that not only that I can provide, but that's the whole purpose of sex, of life, of everything, is to provide that service.
Yes, and that's really beautiful, Wendy. It's really beautiful. And what I've found is extremely important is to recognize that the service you provide is in your capacity to offer it to the Great Self, because that's who can hold it and transform it. You know, just as I often tell people who are in intense situations with their kids to offer that to the Great Mother and let the Great Mother through them. It's the same with, mm-hmm. you know, with this practice, this experience that you're having. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. very beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for
it's surprising. It's really surprising where this takes you, actually.
It's very surprising and very mm-hmm. profound, you know. It's part mm-hmm. of the really extraordinary experience of our interactivity and what we can offer each other, especially when we really realize that the healer is not our contracted consciousness, although it can come through our contracted consciousness. It is in that which we most deeply are, which is so vast and so loving that, you know, that it can hold and transform and transmute everything.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Thank you so much. And
yeah, thank you, Sally. Really appreciate
you're so
it.
Welcome. So, we're going to meditate some more. And because I want to take some time in this time together to work with some of the cool and, you know, eccentric, because some of the practices in the Vijnana Bhairava are really quite amazing. And many of them use as doorways, you know, parts of the physical body as entrances into that consciousness. The practice I just explained to Wendy is one of those practices where we often use our inner heart space as a doorway into the Great Heart, into Bhairava's heart. And what I want to, you know, what I want us to start to do this evening is to practice with the mudra, with the center, the middle space, the gap, which to me, this is something I've been studying and practicing with and contemplating and reading about for almost 40 years now, and it never fails to blow my mind when I consider that in the space or gap between any two objects, any two states, any two breaths, any two thoughts, any two perceptions, that space between, for instance, the most famous one, of course, is the in-breath and the out-breath, the space between the in-breath and the out-breath, the space where one thought comes to an end before another thought arises, the space where one perception is complete before another perception arises, that space, which is usually so small and subtle that we don't notice it, is actually an opening into the vastness of consciousness itself. So whenever perception is happening, when we're aware of a specific object, whether it's a physical object or a mental object, our space of consciousness is completely filled with that object. And that actually is what contracts consciousness. It's the way in which our awareness, which is naturally free and open, gets totally filled up and takes the shape of whatever is being perceived or thought or imagined. So, yet if we can, even for a fraction of a moment, withdraw the mind from the object or find the space that is present at the end of perception or at the end of thought, there will be an instant of openness in which the underlying awareness, that's the true source of all experience, will emerge. And as we practice it, that awareness begins to expand more and more. And in a nutshell, the expansion of that center, which the center between the breaths, the center in the subtle midline, the shumna nadi, the center between one perception and another, as that expands, as that reveals itself from behind the curtain of activity, we actually experience the vastness of what we really are. So the practice that is often called centering, which, of course, there are many, many practices in the different meditative traditions that are called centering, are all really about finding a way to tune ourselves into that space where the true center can start to reveal itself. Because as the famous statement, which I looked up on the internet today, I've always thought it came from St. Augustine. It turns out it's from a book called The Librum of the 24 Philosophers, the Book of the 24 Philosophers. And it's said to have been spoken by a medieval philosopher who was really the founder of the Western esoteric tradition, or one of the founders, named Hermes Trismegistus, which means the great Hermes. And it's a statement that you probably know. He says, God is an infinite sphere, the center of which is everywhere, and the circumference nowhere. God is an infinite sphere, the center of which is everywhere, and the circumference nowhere. And that's really the heart teaching of the Vijnana Bhairava. You know, that center, which is God, is in the center of everything, including the atoms of our bodies and the space between our thoughts. So right now, we're going to meditate on one of the centers in the physical body, the center of the tongue. As Shiva says, the pathways of Shakti are everywhere. So the tongue, in fact, is a particularly sensitive organ of the physical body, as you know. It's filled with sensory receptors, which is one of the places where the intelligence, the consciousness within the physical world is actually quite easy to access. So here's the practice. I'm going to read you the verse, and then we'll practice it. The verse, it's verse 81, and it says, keeping the tongue in the center of the wide open mouth, fix the mind there, uttering the sound ha mentally, one will be dissolved in peace. So we're going to practice this. Take a deep breath in and let the breath, the exhalation, take out any stray thoughts that have occurred from the conversation of the last little while. Open your mouth and place your tongue in the space in the center of the mouth, so you're not touching any part of the gums or the top of the mouth or the bottom of the mouth. You're just holding the tongue in a relaxed way in the space in the center of the mouth. Now, keeping your mouth open internally, close your lips so the inner mouth doesn't have to be really wide, obviously. But you want to be aware of the space inside the mouth with the lips closed. The tongue is in the center of the mouth, held in a relaxed way, and your focus is in the very middle of the tongue. You can even imagine yourself focused on the inside of the tongue, like not on the surface, but on the inside. Inhale, just let the inhalation come in freely, and then with the exhale, silently repeat the sound, ha. Feeling that the sound and your attention is focused in the center of the tongue. The exhalation expands inside your mouth with the internal thought, ha. The sound ha in the Sanskrit language signifies the dissolving of language into silence. So it's a very powerful mantra to practice with in this group of meditations that we're doing in the next few minutes. So your awareness is with ha, floating with the exhalation, as your focus lingers in the center of the tongue. And now you allow your attention to flow down to the heart center, just to the right of the physical heart, in the very center of your body behind the sternum. You might even imagine that there's a chute, you know, kind of a little tube between the center of the tongue and the center of the heart. And you feel that inside the heart are two cupped lotus flowers facing one another, so that there is a bowl between the centers of the lotus. The petals touch, and between the two centers of each lotus there's a space. And this space is what the Vijnana Bhairava calls the two bowls of the heart lotus. So your awareness now is in the space between these two cupped flowers, just in the very center of the heart. And the inhalation moves freely, bringing your awareness more and more deeply into this sense of being centered in between the two bowls of the heart lotus. And if you're a visual person, you can even imagine these two beautiful flowers, white or pink or even blue, as living presences inside the heart. Your awareness in the center between the two bowls of the flowers. The inhalation drawing your attention more deeply into the center, and the exhalation sounding with ha, but internally. And you notice that the sound of ha dissolves into the heart with the exhalation, just as the exhalation dissolves into space before the exhalation, before the inhalation arises. The exhalation with ha dissolves into the space of the heart. So now let the sound go and see if you can just focus on this interior feeling of resting in the center of the heart. And as thoughts arise, see if you can instantly dissolve the thought. This is another practice from the Vijnana Bhairava. Just drop the thought and bring your attention back into the center of the heart. And we're just doing it for a moment or two. So you can imagine, for example, that there's a subtle lightsaber that just touches a thought as it arises and dissolves it and draws your attention back into the heart. And we're going to close with a practice that works with the space between thoughts, which is one of the most really powerful and significant of all the practices of the Vijnana Bhairava. It's meditation on the space between one thought and another. So your awareness is still in the heart, poised in the bowl, the center of the two bowls of the heart lotus. And you're allowing the sound ha once again to repeat itself. But this time, at the end of the sound ha, focus on that space in awareness where the sound dissolves. Ha comes to an end, and there's a space of consciousness, a moment of stillness. And then out of that same place where ha has dissolved, it arises again. Into what does the sound ha dissolve? And from where does the next sound of ha arise? The ah part of the letter dissolves into awareness, and then the ha. arises again. Focus on that space into which the mantra arises and dissolves. As thoughts arise, let them dissolve as well. You're poised inside the center of the heart lotus, following the letter Ha into the awareness of spaciousness, the center into which it dissolves. And being more and more present in that space of silence, noticing how the next repetition of Ha arises from that same space into which it dissolves. That space, which is awareness itself, and if the space opens and you find yourself in stillness, let yourself be there. If you can keep your awareness inside the bowls of the heart lotus and see if you can sit for a little while as the call comes to an end. You'll be receiving your homework. The audio will be available tomorrow, and see if you can keep returning to this awareness of the space into which a thought subsides and from which it arises. It's easier to do with the mantra, which is why we do it in meditation. But as you practice this, there'll be moments during the day when you can actually notice how the thoughts that normally come so thick and fast actually arise and subside out of this spaciousness of consciousness. And the more you can allow your attention to rest in the heart or in the central channel, whichever is more natural for you, the more you'll begin to recognize that every single thought and feeling within your experience is arising out of that dynamic, vibratory, pulsing awareness that underlies everything that you've ever known and ever will know. That is yourself, that is Shiva, that is Shakti, that is blessing you and inviting you at every moment. Have a beautiful week. I'll enjoy hearing on the listserv what you're experiencing, and I send you huge love. Namaste. Good night. Blessings.